columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
The over-under for Cortland Sutton's 2020 season for receiving yards and touchdown grabs, courtesy of the folks at Fox Bet. By the way, I'm going to each day tweet out one of these guys as we go through them one at a time and put a poll out on Twitter what the favorite play is. So, for instance, last night I posted the numbers for Drew Lock that we went over yesterday. If you missed that segment, you can pull up the podcast yesterday at the top of hour number two. It was Drew Lock's passing yards over under 3,400. The touchdown passes was 22.5. So I listed those four options. What's your favorite play? Over 3,400 yards, under 3,400 yards. Over 22.5 touchdown passes, under 22.5 touchdown passes. What did you think was the leader in the clubhouse with nearly 50%?
Over 3,400 yards.
Bingo.
Okay.
Yep, with over 400 votes, it was 48% over 3,400 yards. The lowest was under 22.5 touchdown passes. Interesting stuff. I'll post this soon enough here. But Cortland Sutton, Stokely, let's start with the receiving yards. What's your best guess here?
Receiving yards, you look at him last year, 1,112 yards, right? Got a young quarterback. Last year had multiple quarterbacks. Going into his third year, you figure this is like this is the time. I mean, he has already shined, but it's, you know, this year even more so to take another step forward and really solidify himself as one of the best in the game. And this is the year to do it. Once you start stacking these 1,000-yard seasons back to back to back, well, now you got something. You look at last year. I'm going to put the over-under on Cortland Sutton, and it might be a little bit ridiculous. I have no clue what these numbers look like for, you know, even for a guy like Michael Thomas or DeAndre Hopkins. So I'll say for Cortland Sutton, going off of last year, I'm going to say it's probably going to be right around that area. It's going to be over. It's got to be over 1,000.
More weapon?
Huh?
Does it?
Yeah, in my mind it does.
All right.
I mean, it doesn't have to be. I mean, they could put it under 1,000 if they wanted, but in my mind it has to be over 1,000. And I'm going to put it at 1,000. Now you got me second-guessing myself, Zach. Why would you say that? Does it? Why would you say that? You got me second-guessing myself. Now I'm dropping my number down.
I'm just trying
Why
to play
would you do that?
I'm trying to play devil's advocate.
Well, let me just ramble here and let me give my answer, and then you say, you know, then you can, you know, criticize.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Back to Cortland Sutton. Over-under on what I think it could be, I'm gonna go 1,100 yards.
1,100 yards.
Yep.
The over under for Cortland Sutton's 2020 season,
it's got to be in 1,000.
Is
it's got to
924 yards.
Wow. Why? Tell me why. Tell me why.
Well, you know,
why do you think so low? I don't get it.
Well, I think,
and they're unbiased as unbiased can be.
That's right.
They're
exactly
trying to make
right.
money on this thing.
That's
and
exactly
not,
right.
And for me, I think that's way, way low. But I mean, shoot, I've watched Cortland Sutton for his first 2 years. You know, every game, every training camp practice, just like you have. We saw the jump from year one to year two. I think Drew Lock is the real deal here. He's got more protection around him now. Now, do they think the opportunities are going to go down for him? Because of all the other weapons that the Broncos now have? Is that what they're saying here?
I think that's definitely part of it. I think that's definitely part of it. I think the other part is when you just said, hey, I think he's the real deal. We learned this yesterday with the numbers from Drew Lock. The experts in the desert aren't convinced that Drew Lock's the real deal. They have his, you know, over-under passing yards at 3,400. You know,
well, I think you're going a little overboard there. It's not that they don't think he's the real deal. I just think that look at the circumstances. A young quarterback and a new system and playing with a lot of new players and not having an off season. And you know, he's only started five games.
Yeah, so I guess instead of saying that the experts in the desert don't think he's the real deal, we don't know if he's the real deal yet. They're just like us.
Yes.
So, I think that, but I think a part of that definitely, it has to do with the arrival of Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant in his second year, the drafting of KJ Hamler. I mean, there is a lot of mouths to feed, and I know I keep saying that phrase, but I'm almost wondering, like, if at a certain point in time, if this is going to become an issue with this many, if they all work out, if Jerry Jeudy's the real deal, if KJ Hamler is what the Broncos thought he could be when they took him in the second round, Noah Fant's a first round draft pick, you have Sutton. I mean, there's a lot going on here in addition to two terrific Pro Bowl running backs. So, man, I hope it doesn't get to a point where it's an issue.
Well, I mean, look, the guy went over 1,100 yards last year. And his rookie year, what, did he have over 700?
Yeah.
And so I don't think they look at it like, oh, this guy hasn't done it. Like, we've seen him do it over a 16-game season.
Sure.
So he's actually gone out and done it. Drew Lock, you're speculating, right? Some guys are speculating. But this guy has delivered, really, in both years in a big way. Now, he didn't get over 1,000 his rookie year, but certainly had a solid rookie season when you're really the third fiddle. That's what he was his rookie year.
Yep.
Until they traded Demaryius.
Yep.
So, he had a great rookie season. He had a great second year. I just don't get how it's under 1,000 yards for Courtland Sutton. Once again, if he stays healthy, I just don't see a way that he stays under 1,000 yards. Maybe all these other guys start getting more targets, and, you know, maybe the running game gets more carries. But I can't see if he's able to stay healthy, which he has shown that he's a pretty durable player.
Yep.
That he doesn't get 1,000 yards. Do you agree or disagree? Are you serious? Are you serious right now?
You're
down on Courtland?
Stop.
Are you down on Courtland Sutton, Zach?
You are.
Why
something.
The pause? No, I'm not. What? I'm,
you wedge driver.
No.
Yes.
Zach, that's the truth. The truth was you gave a big pause. Being you, I've always been a huge Courtland Sutton fan.
Of course, I'm still a Sutton fan.
Well, that doesn't sound. Why pause? Why pause right away? So you're like, yes, I agree.
I want to think from the lens of how the experts in the desert are thinking, because there's a reason that it's been set at 924. What these guys are trying to do is they're trying to put out the perfect number that half the people play the over, half the people play the under, because they're going to make money that way. So why is it at 924 yards?
Right.
Yes.
They're not always right.
Of course they're not. Naturally, I want to agree with you. If Courtland Sutton stays healthy, that he's going to be over 1,000 yards.
It didn't sound like you wanted to agree, Tim.
It didn't sound like anything.
You said nothing. Right.
Right. So
why so long? I don't understand. Don't worry about what they're saying. What do you feel?
No, that's what I asked you.
What do you feel?
I'm not worrying about what they're saying. I'm considering what they're saying.
Whenever you pause, it means you're worried. Okay, whenever you don't speak, you're worrying.
Your logic is something.
You are worrying. Don't worry.
If Courtland Sutton's healthy for 16 games, yes, he should be a 1,000-yard receiver.
See, how hard was that?
Wasn't very hard at all.
Right.
I just wanted to give it some thought before I just spit out an answer.
So, you know, it's like if your wife asks you a question and you give a big long pause, it's usually not good. Like she said, hey, you know, how do these pants fit or something? If you don't give a quick answer, like they look great, if you give a little bit of pause and then you say they look great, then she's like, what was the pause for there? Like, you know, that's kind of
doubt has been cast.
Right. That's how I feel about your pause with Courtland Sutton. I'm a little bit disappointed.
No.
I'm a little bit disappointed.
I
thought you were as high on Courtland Sutton as I was.
Stop.
The truth is coming out on Friday.
You're something. For touchdown grabs for Courtland.
Okay.
So we got the receiving yards over under 924.5.
Which I think is too low. I had an 1,100.
You did. You were way over.
Yeah, I wasn't even close.
And when it comes to receiving touchdowns, the number is... I have in my hands Courtland Sutton's over-under touchdown grabs for the 2020 season. We just went over his receiving yards. According to the folks at Fox Bet, the number's been set at 924.5 receiving yards for Sutton.
Way too low.
Both of us believe that's kind of low. You believe
I do.
You're hundreds of yards low. I believe it's a little low. When it comes to receiving touchdowns.
I'm on this one. I am locked and loaded. I think I got this one nailed.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think I got this one nailed. I feel really confident about this one.
Okay.
Really confident.
Okay.
You know, last year, he had 6 touchdowns, right?
That's right.
6 touchdowns. I just think this year, they're probably going to expect it to go up a little bit. And I feel really good about this number. I'm going to go with the number 7 touchdowns for Courtland Sutton. I'm going to put that number, the over-under on his touchdowns for 2020 is 7. Am I right?
You are not correct.
Oh, gosh, I felt really good about that. Okay, well, okay, let's talk about this then before you tell me the answer.
Okay.
Wow. Well, they were a lot lower on, at first I was going to say 8 touchdowns, but then I started thinking about that might be a little bit high. And they were a lot lower on his yards than I thought. I mean, did they say 6?
They did not. Your initial gut reaction was the right one.
Really?
The number's been set at 8.5.
Oh, wow. That's a big number. It's a big number.
You know, it is and it isn't. I think that it's, you know.
I'm not understanding. I just don't understand this. The yards are, you know, last year you had 1,100 yards, and this year they're projecting 920-something. They're putting the number over-under. Last year you had 6 touchdowns, and now they bumped that thing up to 8.5. I don't get it. Explain.
Well, man, I can't explain what they're thinking. I really can't. Eight is a, you know, 8.5 is a big number.
It's a huge number
for a wide receiver. If you had 8 touchdown catches last year, your name is Mike Evans, Tyler Lockett, Amari Cooper, Austin Eckler, DJ Chark, Darius Slayton, and AJ Brown. Those are guys, and they are all tied for 9th in the league.
That's 8 touchdowns. Well, what about the over there? I mean, it's 8.5. So
if you're going to 9, if he goes 9 touchdowns and hits the over here this past year, if you caught 9 touchdown passes,
9 of them things,
which you have done before.
Yeah, I've gone over.
You went over. It was set at 9.5 that season for you, and you went over.
Well, it was actually set at 0.5. over 100 Stokes touchdowns for the year.
If you caught 9 touchdown passes this past year, your name is Chris Godwin, Michael Thomas, Devontae Parker from Miami.
Yeah, he came on late, and they ended up signing him to an extension. He started playing like that first-round wide receiver. You're talking about the guy from Louisville there down with the Dolphins. But, he ended up having a really nice season for him.
Marvin Jones Jr. in Detroit,
yep.
Terrific wide receiver, and Jared Cook, a tight end in New Orleans. Jared Cook's put together a really nice career, hasn't he?
Yeah, he really has. I was never a huge fan of his on the football field. Just thought he was just a tall guy with not very good hands. But he's done a really nice job of kind of bouncing around. I don't know, Packers for a little bit, Raiders, Saints. Where else was he? I don't remember.
St. Louis.
Yes, right. That's right. So he's been kind of bouncing around, and he's a big, tall, long tight end that can run, and he's done a really nice job. He had another good year last year.
Yeah,
that's a lot of touchdowns, Zach.
It's a lot of touchdowns.
Here's my question here, and here's what I'm having issues with. So we speculated one of the reasons why the yardage total for Courtland Sutton was so low or lower than we thought.
Yep.
Was because of the weapons around him, right?
Yeah.
These guys are going to take opportunities away. Well, these are the same guys that are going to take touchdowns away also.
Sure.
If that's the case.
Sure.
So maybe what they're saying here, Zach, is because this offense will be better, they're going to score more points. They're going to have more red zone opportunities. Courtland Sutton will have more true opportunities to score touchdowns, and this offense will score more touchdowns. I that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, you know, it's hard because I agree with you. There's a little bit of a disconnect here from the yard mark that they put out and the touchdown mark. You know, one, if you actually asked me, and it's you know, I got the information from Fox Bet, so I was privy to it. I saw it all. But my favorite game ever is trying to guess these things.
Yeah, I love it.
And we got to do that with NFL over-unders and maybe some other players because it's too fun of a game.
Yeah.
I love to do that every year. But if you were to ask me the same question that I asked you, like what is Courtland Sutton's over-under for receiving yards for the 2020 season, I wouldn't have went as high as you.
Right.
I would have probably gone just under 1,000 yards if I'm being totally pragmatic about it. I probably would have put it at like 988 yards.
I don't believe you.
Something like that.
I don't believe you.
What do you think that I would have done that
you
I'm currently been lying about?
You'd have been in the thousands.
You think so?
Listen to this one. Ready? 1,000% you would have been in the thousands.
So 900% more certain than 100% I would have been over 1,000 marks.
Yes, that's how certain I am you would have been in the thousands.
So you're just
you're
like,
high on Courtland Sutton.
I'm very high
right?
on Courtland Sutton.
And he went over 1,100 last year. You would have been, you know, maybe 1,025, 1,020. I'm 1,000%
so
sure.
So you are so deep into my, what's that called up there? The, like the
noggin.
The cortex of the noggin. There's some more scientific name.
You go.
You're in your dome.
I'm so in your dome.
You're just living in there, and you're just peeking around to what I'm thinking.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. You figured out, Zach. I know you, man. I know you.
Okay.
And so there's no doubt in my mind that you would have been in the thousands. You would not have been under that.
Maybe I would have. Maybe I would have. We'll never know.
I saw
the number, and I'm jaded.
Yes, we do know. I know.
Oh, my God!
Even though you don't know, and you just went back, and you're like, maybe I would have been. See how you're backtracking already?
I am so happy it's Friday, and I have less than 2 hours left with you.
Oh, man, we're just getting this party started. What do you mean?
Hey, so here's a trip for you. There was three players in the NFL last year, just three, believe it or not, that all caught double-digit touchdowns. And it just goes to show you how hard this is to do. Right. Can you believe that? In the 2019 regular season, just three players had 10 receiving touchdowns or more. One had 11, the other two had 10. It's so unbelievable that I'm saying that out loud, given how much of a passing league that it is. And I swear to God, there's never been a worse time to pump your tires in right now. But it makes me think back to the fact that you guys have
pump away.
You guys have the NFL record for the only offense ever to have three wide receivers specifically, to all be over the 1,000-yard mark and catch 10 touchdowns. There was three total players in the league who did it. You guys had three on one team, and I got news for you. One of the three is a tight end, so three wide receivers didn't catch 10 touchdowns.
Oh.
The whole league. That is freaking crazy and maybe deserving of a video on Twitter here during a break, because that just blows my mind.
So give me the two wide
receivers,
Kelsey?
One tight end. Nope.
What, Kelsey wasn't the tight end?
He was not.
Kittle?
Nope.
Oh, never mind. I give up.
It's a former team you played for.
I'm out. I said I'm out. I'm done. Give it to me. I'm done.
Mark Andrews from Baltimore.
Oh, wow. That's right. I had him on my fantasy team. I think he destroyed you both times. Three times. How many times? What, 3-0 against you, something
Can
like that?
Can we shut his mic off?
Yeah. He had a great year. I forgot about it. I would never even thought about him. And he was on my fantasy team that dominated you and your brother.
My God.
You did. I mean, well, that was the thing. Like 4 weeks into the season when I'm rolling and everything, and you're like, hey, by the way, I don't even do fantasy. That's my brother does my account. You know, just let him do it. And then all of a sudden, later on, when you started rolling, you're like, oh, yeah, I've been paying attention now. You're back in it. And so I was like, all right, perfect. I'll just throw your brother in the mix. I'm going to take care of both of y'all. And I did. Waxed him. Boom, 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 boom.
Dude, you are the worst ever. All right, who are
give me the wide receivers. Give them to me. I'm not even guessing. I'm bad today. Bad guessing.
Cooper Kupp.
Wow.
For the Rams.
Really?
Had 1,161 yards and 10 touchdowns.
Great year.
That's a great year. And then the other player had 11 touchdowns, was near 1,200 yards. He averaged over 18 yards per catch, which is one of the highest marks in the NFL. It's Kenny Galladay. from the Detroit
Never
Lions.
Would have guessed that. Never would have guessed
Me
that.
Me either.
Wow.
Me either. So you have, look at Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay are two of the top five leading receivers in the National Football League.
Whoa. Yeah, look at their quarterback situation. Stafford only played about half the year, and he had the back, and then they had Driscoll and some other three or four guys. And
that's how they got two of the top five, numbers. The Driscoll factor.
There it is. There it is, right there.
The next big thing.
That's right.
All right.
And that's what we got.
I have more NFL changes. The league is changing, and I'll tell you how next. Got some NFL changes for you.
I got to ask you a question first.
Oh, my God. I took a bite of that sandwich. Got raw jalapenos on it. My mouth is on fire right now. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Wow.
Ooh. Ooh.
Got you a little bit?
I am breaking out in a sweat right now. Holy moly.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm
Steven.
All right.
All right. Can we get back to the show now?
Yeah, we'll get
there. Here's my question for you. Is how would you operate there? We just went over Cortland said, I want to get to these NFL rules, but I wanted to ask you this. Last segment when we were talking about Cortland Sutton's over under for his touchdowns, 8.5, over under for his yardage is 924.
Yep.
24.
And a hook.
Okay.
Yep.
Where are you at with the yardage? What would you do right now? You going over or you going under? 924 yards.
Over.
Me too. Touchdowns, 8.5 is the number. You're going over, you're going under.
I'm going under.
I am too. Okay. Yep. We're in sync there, buddy.
Yep. It's just 8.5 is a big mark, man.
That's a huge mark, especially when you look at new offense, a lot of changes. And you look at the amount of wide receivers that caught 9 or more touchdowns last year.
That is shocking.
There's just few of them. There's just a few of them. There ain't many. I mean, there's how many
in the whole league? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In the whole league caught more than 8 touchdowns. And that's what you look at the number. It's 8.5. You got to remember, and of course you do, you got to get to 9 for that thing to clear. So you would have to be, judging by this past year, you would have to be one of the, you know, best 8 tight ends, wide receivers, you know, catching touchdowns. But, you know, tight ends are included on that list. So
right. You
got a couple of them. Jared Cook and Mark Andrews both in the top 8.
Yeah, and it could happen. I mean, certainly Cortland Sutton could be a double-digit touchdown guy.
He can.
But I don't think there's any question. This guy's should be a red zone specialist. I'm kind of surprised he only had 6 last year. I think that had a lot to do with the quarterback carousel there. But this guy is a guy that when you get in the red zone, he's a matchup nightmare for defenses. His way he can go up and get footballs. You know, those jump balls, and I mean, that's where he's elite. So, you know, he could score a lot of those touchdowns on just, you know, fade routes at the 3-yard line. Instead of running it, just throw it up to Cortland. So we'll see how it works out for him when it comes to those touchdown numbers, but I just think that's a little bit high.
Yeah, and you know what Cortland needs? He needs to, if he wants to be in that, like, 8-9 touchdown range, he can't have these stretches where he goes a month without catching one. Because if you look at 2019, it was an awesome year. It's over 1,100 yards and 6 touchdowns. But on 2 different occasions against the Chargers and against Jacksonville, he caught 2 touchdowns in 1 game. So 2/3 of his touchdown total over 16 games came in 2 games.
Right.
So you think about how many games he didn't have touchdowns in.
It was a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot. So in 16
probably
games,
12.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Look at you.
I mean,
12.
Zach, why do you have to waste all our time? I just told you that 30 seconds ago. I mean, I did it
in my
head.
You didn't tell me 30 seconds ago. It was more like 12 seconds ago.
I did it in my head.
3
well,
seconds
you
wasted.
Didn't have to, you know, you'd have to go 1, 2,
You've
three,
already wasted
four.
More time in this than I wasted counting
you
them out.
You just got to know that, you know, hey, Stokely says 12, it's 12, it's 12.
I don't trust your Bayou math.
Yeah, it was pretty quick and pretty good there.
It was. But he's gone like, like he started the season. This is kind of crazy. Oh, no, this is the end of the season. Wait, is this right? Okay. So it was in the final 4 football games with Drew Lock. Sutton did not catch a touchdown.
Huh.
It was that first game against the Chargers where he caught 2 touchdowns with 74 yards, but he did not have a touchdown in 4 of the 5 games that Drew Lock was here. So I guess I'm not saying anything with that. I'm just giving you some context of how it ended over the last five. He's just got to find the end zone more. You know,
yeah.
he's super talented. Just got to get in there a little bit more this time around. And
sometimes look, it's one of those things where, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of luck involved. I think with a guy like him, you know, you get a lot of opportunities, and you know, sometimes you just barely get in, sometimes you're just a little bit short, and that can, you know, all of a sudden go from 6 to 10 just like that. Just by, you know, one guy making another play and a quarterback maybe not overthrowing you.
Sure.
and hitting you on those in 1 year. Maybe the other year he's not really hitting you on those, and that's why you can see a big number. So some of it has to do with a little bit of luck that's involved there. So we'll see.
All right. Where were we here? Okay. Some more NFL rule changes here. We went over a couple of them in the very first segment of the show. If you're just joining us, they've approved a preseason experiment that will allow expanded communication between the referees on the field and the replay officials in the booth. And this is a sneak peek on what could eventually be the sky judge, as it'll be proposed once again in 2021. That's something that we learned from the meetings. Expanded defenseless player protection to kickoff and punt returns. You and I were both a little bit confused on what that will actually look like. But another change for safety in the kicking game. How about this one? I didn't bounce this one off of you. It's a little bit wordy, but a rule that made permanent the expansion of replay reviews to include scoring plays and turnovers that had been negated by a foul. You follow that one?
No, say it one more time.
Yep. It's a rule that made permanent the expansion of replay reviews to include scoring plays and turnovers that had been negated by a foul.
Okay.
So if there's a turnover, there's an interception, and it gets taken away because there's a foul on that play.
Huh.
On another defensive player, maybe. That you can now take a look at the replay to maybe uphold the turnover? I think that's how I'm reading that.
Yeah, I'm a little bit confused there. I was thinking, like, all of a sudden the offense scores a touchdown and we had a holding call on Garrett Bowles. Will they be able to replay and see if Garrett Bowles really held?
I don't know. It's a little bit wordy. I don't really remember this coming up a ton this past season when they were experimenting with it.
Interesting though. I think it's another sign that the league is just trying to get things right when it's a big play, a scoring play, you know, and there's a penalty. You want to make sure you get it right.
Right.
So I think that's the league just. Like on big plays, on scoring plays, just trying to make sure that everything is correct and that they have a way to correct mistakes. If something is glaring, look, we're not doing the pass interference thing, but, you know, in this situation on scoring plays, we can go back and take a look at these penalties that were thrown.
Last one that I bounce off of you in this segment, increase the number of players who can be designated for return from IR. The limit had been 2, it's now 3. So those conversations of, who are you going to bring back? Locke and Theo or Patrick, right, and Theo Riddick if the Broncos are in it, and just sit Locke, you can bring them all back now. Well, I say all. You can bring back 3.
I like that. You know, when I played, you never could bring back anybody. And so I do like that you can bring back guys now, and it gives teams more flexibility with their roster. And, okay, we can just put this guy on IR, and if he's healthy, we can bring him back, and opens up roster spots for other guys. And allows, you know, your stars, you don't have to say, well, goodness, if we put him on IR here, you know, he's done for the year. Whenever we think it might only, you know, he could get back in December, but now we can't carry him on the roster because we need these roster spots because everybody's getting hurt.
Right.
And we got to sign all these other players. So I like that. More flexibility, and why not? Let them bring back another guy. We were talking about this a lot last year with Drew Locke and Tim Patrick and Riddick and another guy or two. And so I like that rule.
What is next for college sports? Are college sports going to be played on time? Is football going to be happening in Boulder this fall? Will fans be there? We're going to talk to the athletic director of CU, Rick George, next. for college sports. Who better to talk to than Rick George, the athletic director of CU. Rick, welcome to the program. I don't believe we've ever had you on here on Stokely and Zach. I'm Zach By. My partner's Brandon Stokely. We've been doing a show here for a little over 3 years.
Rick joined me one time with Charles Johnson when with Charles Johnson.
That's right.
So we certainly appreciate you.
I know who you guys are.
Oh, good. That feels good. Well, we appreciate your time here. And I'm just wildly curious what the past few months have been like for you. And instead of starting off with what's next, and we'll get there. These last 3 months have been like what?
Well, they've been everything you can imagine, and then some. A lot of decisions, you're waiting on a lot of decisions to be made, from the federal government, from the state, from the county, from our campus, and, trying to, make sure you navigate all that. And then, you're trying to plan for a future that you don't know yet. And you're looking at different scenarios relative to what it looks like. And I think, in the past week, we've had some positive things that have come up that give me a pause to be optimistic. But, it's been a series of a variety of different things. And, to complicate it, I serve on the Division I Council and then the Council Coordination Committee. So we're very busy looking at emergency legislation relative to COVID-19 and, and then trying to, communicate with your student athletes and with your staff, with your head coaches, and then we're also working diligently behind the scenes on, okay, what does it look like when our student athletes step back into our facilities, when our staff comes back to our facilities, and how do we ensure that, we're following, we've got the right protocol and the processes in place to ensure safety and healthiness and all of those kind of things. So it's been a lot of different things, and still trying to figure out what the fall looks like and the impact that that's going to have on our department from a revenue perspective. And so all of those things, I've said to a lot of people in the last 10 weeks I've probably worked more than I have in any time in my career, just because of the local conversations, the regional, the national conversations, and all the other things that go along with it. It's been a challenge, but I think a year from now we're going to be much better than we are today, and the next few months are going to be challenging, but we'll get through them. And my hope is that a year from now, we've learned a lot from what's gone on, and we're better because of it.
And we're visiting with CU Athletic Director Rick George. Rick, what are your thoughts on the upcoming college football season? Do you think it's going to happen? Saw that Michigan, I think Michigan's president might have came out and said, hey, we don't have students, we're not playing football. Would that be the case at CU also?
Well, again, we hear a lot of things out there, right? And that's why I haven't really said, yeah, we're going to play or we're not going to play. And, again, I look at some of the positive things that have happened. And yes, but if you also look at the recent news today, that same president came out today and said, well, I think we're going to have some form of classes in person. So, again, things change daily, weekly, you name it, hourly in some cases. And, I think the chancellor's announcement at CU that we're going to be back with in-person learning experience, I think that bodes well for us. And so that's helpful. I think seeing some of the NFL's announcement, the fact that, NASCAR has started back up. I know the PGA Tour is starting back up. Major League Baseball's, focused on that. So I think all of those things give me a pause to be positive at this point, but it's tempered because, again, we still don't know what the fall is going to look like, and we're certainly playing on what those scenarios can be. And it's all over the map at this point.
Well, I think that's a really good approach on your behalf. And once again, we're being joined by Rick George, athletic director up at CU, just being measured and not, you know, making any unnecessary claim that you may have to walk back if things change. But I will say this. It feels like even in the last 3 weeks, if we were to have this conversation 3 weeks ago, it seems like even in just 21 days, the level of optimism and hope, it feels like it's tripled, quadrupled, and is now in the fast lane where, you know, you have the owner of the Dolphins, and you just use the NFL as an example. You know, he's saying, yeah, we're definitely going to play the games, and we may even have fans. You're seeing in Texas the governor come out and saying we can have 25% of fans. In terms of your personal level of optimism from 3 weeks ago to where it's at today, that we will have CU football this fall.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's, as I said, there's been a lot of positive things like that that we're certainly looking at. And the one thing that we've done, not knowing what the future looks like, we've got those contingency plans in place, and we're ready to go. I mean, the protocols that we have for our facilities are extremely good. How many we put in our stadium, we're doing an evaluation on that, and we're looking at that. We're ready to go when it's time, you know, when all the things line up and they say, you know, we're going to play, then we're going to be ready. And we've been working on that diligently over the past probably 6 to 7 weeks.
We're visiting with CU Athletic Director Rick George. Rick, what's the current situation for y'all? Obviously, you got a new head football coach there. Normally, you're going to be going through probably start a summer program right now. What's going on right now with the football program, with the new head coach and the players, and what's the plan to possibly get these players back in the building if they're not already and be able to do things together again?
Yeah, so look, I mean, Carl's solid, and, you know, there's not a lot that ruffles his feathers, and he's steady, and so I feel really good about him and what his coaches have done. You know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, we passed some legislation that allowed our coaches to have 8 hours a week of interaction with student-athletes, putting in game plans, looking at video, team meetings, position meetings, those kind of things, and that's gone extremely well. And, you know, right now our plan is, based on the current legislation that came out last Friday by the NCAA and by our conference Tuesday, that we will have in-person virtual workouts beginning June 15th. Now, certainly it's got to align with our state and local guidelines, you know, that we have, but, you know, we've got a date now that we're planning for to have student athletes back in Boulder, hopefully, working out, in our facilities voluntarily, which I think is going to be, terrific for the student athletes. It's going to be great for our coaches and staff as well.
Well, that is great news that, you know, these athletes on a voluntary basis will be able to return to where they go to school. And, you know, even that sentence wouldn't have made sense just 6 months ago. But the fact that you do have a date where they're able to come back and do these voluntary workouts, I think is a huge step in the right direction, considering where we were even just 3 or 4 weeks ago. So go ahead.
No, I mean, look, and I agree with you. I think it's huge. Having that date at least provides some clarity, and certainly, again, we'll look at the local and state guidelines to make sure that we're adhering to those. But I do think it's important for young people. I mean, you know, you look at a lot of the information that's out there about the impact that this is having on the mental health of young people, not just student athletes, but young people all over the country, and to come back and have some kind of structure and interaction, you know, that they're used to, I think is invaluable, for them. And again, we're looking forward to having them back in Boulder on June 15th.
Well, every week that has passed here for the last month, I'm getting more and more optimistic, that we are going to see these young men, play fall sports and young women, play fall sports. And, I'm hoping that this momentum continues to build upon itself and we get to that point. And I think, what we just talked about is a a great jumping off point to get there eventually. Rick Georgie, athletic director at CU, thank you so much for your time, and we appreciate you stopping by today.
We appreciate you having me on. You guys have a great day, great weekend, and be safe and be well.
Same to you.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, there he goes, Rick George, AD of CU. Again, you know, just like a coach would, you know, always tell me, and I know you heard the same stuff growing up, that like, hey, you know, we're down here. There's no such thing as a 7-point play. There's no such thing as a 7-point shot here, and I'm referring to basketball here.
Yeah, because I was going to say, you can just a touchdown, and that's a point. That's 7 points in football. You're talking about basketball.
Say, hey, there's no such thing as a 10-point play. You're not going to get it all back at once. So what you need to do is just chip away. And I think of that analogy here. We're not going to get it all back at once. But you take these baby steps, and you eventually get to where you want to go. And you just walk up to it, and you walk up to it.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.